Joe asked for my topic, and I gave it to him this week. He said, I don't know how we're going to do that with regard to songs. And then he sings this one. He gave me a song. And it's not just a song. It is a multiplicity of songs. We're all familiar with the song, The Wind Beneath My Wings. I want to share a little story with you. Then I want us to look at something. I've heard the song for a long time. It's become one of my favorite songs. And I was on my way to, we had three funerals this week. I was able to go to two of them. And the first one was Kim's, Stewart's father's funeral. And I was on my way there when I was listening to my radio and this song, The Wind Beneath My Wings, came on. And with what we had been studying lately and what I've been studying lately, the song hit me differently than it has before, in a completely different way. And the thought in my mind was to sing this song along with the radio, but to sing it to God and sing it to Jesus, which I did. And it became for me a very emotional moment. It became a very emotional ride and drive as I went through that song. And so I wanted to share a little with you about this song. I want you to understand that the words don't come from a song that was written in 1982, nor from a movie that the song was featured in 1988. But the words are thousands of years old. They go all the way back to the book of Isaiah. They go back even earlier. They are back thousands of years before this, the very words. You are the wind beneath my wings. Therefore, I can soar higher than an eagle because you are the wind beneath my wings. The song became popular because of the movie. The movie was entitled Beaches, and it was produced in 1988. Beth Midler's the one that sings it, and that probably made the song more popular to our time than any other thing. But it was long before that time. The song was actually written by Jeff Silbar and Larry Henley in the year 1982. There was a man by the name of Gary Morris who made it a country song in 1983. And as a result of his making it a country song, it reached the country charts to the height of number 4. And in addition to that, that particular year when he produced that song or sang that song, it received Song of the Year awards from two different sources. And so it's been a very popular song for some time, but we've all known it and we all are aware of it. During our singing sung tonight, songs began to be sung, and the very first song that was sung, I thought, boy, I wish I had told Joe to sing that song. And then we came to the next song. Oh, I wish Joe would have sung that one too, because it's going to fit with the lesson just like the first one did. And then all through that night, songs came up again and again and again that demonstrated what I want us to think about and look at with regard to this song today, to where just about every song that I could think of, and the songs, so many of them that we sang, demonstrated exactly what's going on here. And not only that, but all of the verses that we read, all of the things that are said to us in the Bible, and we'll get to those as we go through in a minute. But if you're familiar with the song, you may wonder, how does all of this fit together? One writer gave the expression of what made this song so popular, and he describes it this way. It's the invisible force that enables us to see higher than we ever thought possible. And when he says that, he's defining what he thinks. I can fly higher than an eagle because you are the wind beneath my wings. And he says it describes an individual or someone who's meant a great deal to us, and their life becomes that invisible force that enables us to soar higher than we ever thought possible. And we can do that to one another. We do that for one another. But nothing like he does. Nothing like God does, and nothing like Jesus does. And you may, if you're thinking about the song, wonder, how can all these words fit in? How can all the words of the song fit to what's being described here? So that's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like to share with you the thoughts I had as I sang this song to God on that drive this past week. The wind beneath my wings. It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine. That's your way. You always walked a step behind. How does that fit with God? I'll show you in just a second. The second part of that verse ties in with the same thing. It says this. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name for so long. A beautiful smile to hide the pain. I want you to go back with me. We can go to a lot of different places, but I want you to go back with me, and we're going to look at the book of Genesis. I want you to read with me these words. We're going to look at two scriptures in Genesis that, to me, give us a glimpse of not only what we see here at the very beginning, but what we're going to see as we read throughout all of the Bible and as we look at it and as we sing so many different songs. I want you to start reading with me in Genesis chapter 21. We're going to start with verse 26. And this is God speaking after the creation of the world. And God said to the man, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now back up and start reading with me again in verse 27. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to read what came first. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God made everything we see around us, and he put us in control of it. God made everything that is in the whole world, and he put its control and its care in our hands. When I think about the first part of these words, when the book is describing, it must have been cold there in my shadow, I think about all the times when God must have been so disappointed in me when I didn't pay attention to what he was saying. I didn't do what I knew he wanted me to do. And how disappointed he was in me. And yet, how he waited. How patient he was. How he waited for me. Jane loves the garden. She used to do it a lot more frequently. And she would say, and a lot better than she's able to do it now. People would come and praise her and her garden and talk about how beautiful it was. But all she did was put a plant in the ground or a seed in the ground and then care for it and try to keep the weeds away. But it was God who was making it grow. It was God who was doing it. It was God who was providing everything that was there. She was just the worker for his hands to take care of and care for and help to grow the things that he provided, the things that he did. I had a friend of mine, happens to be Claude Flynn's brother. His name is Norman. Norman and I worked together in Gadsden for a while, and every time Norman would preach and he would give an excellent sermon, and I would go up to him and say, "You did a great job today," and he would say, "Praise God." I didn't know how to take that at first, but as I came to know Norman better and better, I understood that what he was saying was, it wasn't my lesson. It was simply what God said. It wasn't something I thought up. It wasn't something that came from my own mind. It wasn't something that I invented. It's simply me saying what God has said. He's provided it all. And there are times when God stands in the shadow and we take the credit. Sometimes he is there and he is not known or recognized, but we know him. We know what he's done. We know what he's doing. And he is the one who stands in the background and allows us to receive the glory when really we know and understand it's his glory all along. So I think the first part of these words fits so very perfectly with what was said there. I want you to look with me at this verse. Still in the book of Genesis, it's chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's read it again. We've read it not too long ago, but look at what it says, verses 6 and 7. And I love this particular story. Cain and Abel are bringing a sacrifice. We understand the difference between the sacrifice could have been a multiplicity of things. But for whatever the reason, Abel's sacrifice finds regard from God. God is pleased with it. But from Cain's sacrifice, his sacrifice is not pleasing to God. And as a result of it, Cain becomes angry and frustrated and eventually kills his brother. But God speaks to him when he's angry, when his face is fallen. I want you to notice again what God says down in verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen?" And then God gives him this instruction. "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." Not only has God given us a world that we are to have dominion over, God has created us. He has made us in his own likeness and in his own image. He's given us a mind to think. He's given us a mind to reason. He's given us choice to be able to choose what we want to think and how we want to think and what we want to do and what we want to avoid doing. He's given us choice. And he tells Cain, "You have a choice. Right now, you're choosing to be angry and hateful, and you're wanting revenge. But your thinking is in your power. You have to control it. You have to rule over it. He will not force us. He will not make us. He has made us in His image and His likeness, and He tells us how we ought to be and what we ought to do, and we make the choice. It's almost as if He's in the shadows. We are the ones in control. We choose. We decide. So it must have been cold there. How God must feel when we don't listen to Him. How God must feel when we decide, I don't want to do what you want me to do. How God must feel when we ignore Him. But He's there. He allows us to make the choice. And we will be held accountable for the choices that we make. But the choices are ours. We choose. And so I understand these first two verses and how they would apply. They do in so many different ways. But then we come to this, which takes us closer to the Scripture. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. I don't see how that verse of that song can completely apply to any other human being. I don't see how it could apply to anyone other than to God. Although I understand there are a lot of people that have had an impact on me. There are a lot of people that I have seen the way they do things, and I want to do them like them. And I want to, in some degree, to be like them. But I don't know of too many people, of anybody, that I would say, I want to be them. I want to be just exactly like them. Maybe in some areas, but not in everything. But with regard to God, with regard to Jesus, I want to be everything that He is. I'm not there. We're not going to get there. Not until this life is over. Not until we come to be with Him forever and forever. But this is what we strive for. To strive to be like Him. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, but I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know that I know the truth. Of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. And how that true that is of every single one of us. Read with me these verses. We're going to start in the book of Deuteronomy. There are so many different verses that we could go to, but I want you to read with me these verses that tie in so well with what this song is saying to us. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to read verses 8 through verse 14. Here the Bible will say this. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when He divided mankind, He fixed the borders of the people according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is His people, Jacob, His allotted heritage. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him and He cared for him. How often does He do that for all of us? He kept him as the apple of His eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings and catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord alone guided them. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land, and he ate the produce of the field, and he suckled him with the honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, curds from the herd and milk from the flock with fat of lambs, rams of Bashan and goats with the very finest of the wheat, and you drank foaming wine made from the blood of the grape. God's care for His people. God's care for all of His creation. And the things that He has done for each and every one of us. But the words, The words of this song come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And in Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse 27, we read these words that are familiar to all of us, that are the very words of this song. In Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse 27, it says this. Why do you say, O Jacob, and why do you speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is regarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalms chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, is another passage that describes for us God behind the scenes, providing and working everything that we need in life, and doing for us everything that needs to be done in order for us to be able to live for Him and to have a home with Him eternally. And the psalm is in Psalms 8, and it starts with verse 9. It says this. It's repeated again in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. But there in Hebrews chapter 2, the reference is all pointing toward Jesus, who became like us so that we could become like Him. Who became like us and lived a perfect life so that His life might be able to pay for all the things that we have done wrong. And so while this verse in chapter 8 of the book of Psalms may be applying, as David would write it, to all of those, to all of us, in particular it applies to Jesus and what He has done in order that we might have everything that heaven offers. Psalms 8 reads like this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. It wasn't to angels that he gave the dominion of the world. It wasn't to angels and dominion and demons that he gave the dominion of our own spirit. It wasn't to anything that is in heaven like the angels or are all of the fallen angels that might have been there that he's allowed to have control over this world and us. It's us. You have given him, us, dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under our feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. He's given us the control over ourselves to belong to him. How do we do that? How do we find out what he wants us to do? How do we find out and strengthen ourselves in doing what he wants us to do? There's two things. The first is know what he says. To be in his word. To be in his book. To understand what he's done and what he says and how he wants us to live and how he wants us to be. The other one is described for us in our reading for the day in Hebrews chapter 10. He's made a body for us, a group of people. A group of people in like mind with us who put our trust in Jesus, who belong to him, who strive to follow him and follow his instructions. And he tells us in this book of Hebrews, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stop assembling with those who have the same mindset of Christ that you have. But as long as you are alive and as close as you get to the day, you remember each other, you assemble with each other, you encourage each other, you strive to help each other, you strive to correct each other, and you strive to be with each other. And in this body of people, striving to listen and follow what Jesus says, he gives us that strength to help each other and to be guided by his word in everything that we do. And if we listen to him and pay attention to him, we go to the place where we live forever with him. Can you think of all the verses in the Bible that describe what this song, The Wind Beneath My Wings, is talking about? If you're having a hard time, just sometimes go through the Bible and look. You might want to start with probably one of the most familiar psalms in all of the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then go through the rest of it. He's our guide. He's our source. We follow him. Are you in Christ? Are you ready today, having been studying for yourself, to be baptized into Christ, and it'll allow your walk in life to be with him? Do you need to come home to Christ? If you need to respond to his invitation this morning, we want to offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.